So you can tell a good worship song by the number of hands that are thumping on the pew directly in front of each of the worshipers. And that one, there was a lot of different hands going, so that's good. That's fun. So as I said a little bit ago, good morning. Welcome to Ledge Rock Community Church. We're being joined by some folks online, both right now and in the future. So we're glad that that you guys are here, glad that everyone is here. And what an amazing, fun weekend to be in Ely, Minnesota. Did anybody catch the water tower and the new logo up there? It's beautiful. So good. That's just amazing. So yeah, what a great day, great time, great weekend to be in Ely. Looking forward to the flyover by the Jets a little after 12, and looking forward to the parade and just all the fun festivities. So I've been blessed with the ability to get to travel some over these last few years. I got to hike the Appalachian Trail, put me in that whole southeastern. Northeastern, the whole eastern seaboard, if you're keeping track, 2,200 miles of that, got to do that. And so I got to visit some neat places, and then my family joined me several times, and we've been back several times since then, with one of our primary objectives is going to visit historical sites, but especially battlefields. Wow, what a neat thing to get to do, especially taking some kids along. And our oldest son, Gabe, is very interested in the battlefields and the Civil War as well as I am, and Teresa. So it's really been fun and neat to get to tour some of these battlefields. If you've ever been to a Civil War battlefield, it's very humbling. It's a very thought-provoking experience to visit a place where so many Americans died fighting for whatever they believed or whatever their side or whatever. And it doesn't matter what your personal beliefs are. When you visit a Civil War battlefield, it's sad. It's humbling. It doesn't matter who won. Everyone that died was an American. We then got to visit Yorktown, Virginia, where George Washington and the Continentals and the French under Count de Rochambeau fought Lord Cornwallis there at Yorktown, and what a radically different experience that was. To get to go from Civil War battlefields where everyone, it was sad no matter who won, to get to go to Yorktown where for all intent and purposes, the revolution was won, our freedom from British rule was achieved, for all intent and purposes, there at that battle. What a different experience it was there. We could like, yeah, go Americans. You know, go America. Awesome. October 19th, 1781, Lord Cornwallis surrendered to, again, George Washington and the French commander, Rochambeau. Does anybody know, Trivial Pursuit, what song did the British play during their surrender? Somebody over here? Taps. Nope. The World Turned Upside Down is what the British chose to play. The World Turned Upside Down. Second place trivia question, what did the Continentals play? If you didn't know what the British played, you probably don't know what the Continentals played. To counteract the World Turned Upside Down, the Continentals played Yankee Doodle. Awesome story. If you don't know the story of that, look it up after service is over. Look that up and read about that. Super cool, the story of where we got Yankee Doodle, why they played it. It's awesome. But the British played the song, The World Turned Upside Down. Here's the most elite, highly trained, powerful army in the world losing to a ragtag bunch of frontiersmen, loosely put together and loosely led. Greatest army defeated. They couldn't understand, didn't make sense. And they played the song, The World Turned Upside Down. How could this be? How could we, this special fighting force, lose to these rebels? The world turned upside down. What a message. I serve a king named Jesus. And when Jesus came to the earth, he also brought a message that turned the world upside down. Jesus contradicted the religious leaders of the day, the powers that it be. Jesus fulfilled and accomplished all the laws, the rules and regulations that God had established. Jesus completed it. And then he shared an incredible message that just turned the world upside down. Jesus taught things like we can commit murder in our hearts. We don't have to actually take a weapon and kill someone. We can just do it with our anger in our heart. Jesus taught a message that adultery is committed in our hearts just by thinking lustful thoughts. Jesus turned the world upside down with his radically different message. And today we're gonna together experience and look at something that just doesn't make sense in our flesh. Just doesn't make sense in our human finite minds. That we can't hardly comprehend it. And Jesus explains it. Something that all of us will so richly benefit from, this radically different message that Jesus explained to us. For those of you that might just be joining us for the first time, so glad you're here. Welcome to Ledge Rock. We have been engaged in a sermon series called the Same Sound Sermon Series. And I think the reward would be up to like $100 if you can remember all of them in order without looking at your notes. I have no idea how many we've gone through, but it's been really fun. And the point is to have the sermon start with the same sound. And this week, today, is about us, all of us, being a blessing to each other and especially to a lost and hurting world, no matter our circumstances, no matter where we're at. All right, today we're in the book of Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, and chapter 5 is the one that comes right after chapter 4. Good job, you guys are trucking right with me. Love that. The book of Matthew is fun, neat, exciting. Tax collector coming to faith in Jesus, writing a detailed, accurate account of the good news of Jesus. And so chapter 5, this is the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And wow, I look forward to spending more time in the Sermon on the Mount with you in the future. Some of the most powerful doctrines that Christians have is found in this sermon that Jesus gave early in his ministry to his followers, hundreds of people there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with a good amphitheater-esque sound resonating thing. Jesus was able to speak to hundreds of people and share some incredible truths. We pick up today in verse 43, so basically the end of the chapter, end of the fifth chapter. Follow along if you have it, or I think we've got it up on the screen here for you. Jesus speaks to us, and he says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Pray with me. Father, thank you for this day that we have to gather here in this place and to praise and worship you. And Lord, I thank you for your word and for this message from your word. And Lord, I pray that you will take your truth and speak it through me this morning boldly and clearly. Lord, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and our minds that we may more clearly understand who you are and what you've done for us, and then how it is that we're called to be different and how it is that we can serve you more. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church family said, amen. So don't necessarily, you know, answer this question out loud. Just think about it, ponder it for a moment. But do you have someone in your life that is just especially a blessing? Someone in your life that when their name pops up on your caller ID, it just brings a smile to your face because you know that whatever they're calling about, it's going to be encouraging, it's going to be uplifting, it's going to be a good conversation. Do you have anyone in your life that is just a blessing? Almost all the time, get an email from them. You're eager to read it because it's just good. Just warms your heart. Do you have anybody in your life that is just continually a blessing? I hope so. I hope that each of us have at least someone that is just perpetually a joy to be around, a blessing. And what a blessing it is to have people like that in our lives. And I tell you, Ledge Rock is full of people that are just perpetually a blessing. Some of you hiding out from COVID, laying low, staying home, reached out to me during the shutdown and very difficult time in ministry. New pastor, new community, can't hardly get to know anybody. And you reached out with encouraging words. A lot of you have been a real blessing to me and to my family. I know you're blessing to each other. I hope all of us have someone like that. And today, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will work in our lives and help each one of us strive to be a blessing all the time. So, Be a Blessing is the Same Sound sermon series. That's it. That's our title. But I like other things to help us remember what we're going through. So how about ABCs? My prayer and desire is that all of us would take God's word and this reality so much to heart that every situation we encounter, we would stop and evaluate our response, evaluate our heart, and seek to always be a blessing by choice. There's your ABCs. Always be a blessing by choice. I guess I lied. It's three Bs. Always BBBBC. Can you remember that one? Do I need to go over that one again? All right. All born-again believers can be a blessing no matter the situation we're in. If we look at Jesus' words and we take them to heart and we remember what they are, for us, it's difficult for us to be a blessing in our flesh. It's contradictory to our very nature. It's different. It's a struggle. And all of us can always be a blessing if we look at what Jesus said. But the truth is, again, in our flesh, in this world we live in, it's difficult. In fact, we'll get into later, sometimes we're even encouraged not to be a blessing, to fight and argue with people. Verse 43, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies." Have you ever seen, Teresa was talking about Vacation Bible School, a little Bible camp for kids. Have you ever seen kids and how they act? If one child's playing with another child and one of those children hits the other child, what does the one that got hit do? Hits him right back. If one child would take a toy from a different child, what does the child do? Takes a different toy back from the other kid. One child pulls the other one's hair, what happens? Instantly pull the other one's hair. I'm glad that we adults never act like that. Especially church folks. Far be it from us to be hurt and then want to hurt other people right back. See, Jesus, when he spoke this Sermon on the Mount, he turned the world upside down. Jesus knew, as Creator God, he knew our hearts. He knew that our hearts were sinful and broken and far from God. And Jesus spoke this message. He said, in the past, it's been about rituals and regulations and kill this and do this and put blood here and burn this and you'll be forgiven temporarily. Jesus said, this message I bring to you is going to change everything. You can sin by just thinking about it. Jesus knew our hearts and that our hearts needed cleansed and purified. He knew that our hearts were wrong, and that's why he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. That's why he came. That's what he did, especially this message that we call the Sermon on the Mount. When he says that you have heard it said, love your neighbor, Jesus was quoting Leviticus 19:18. He's just simply quoting a biblical truth. Love your neighbor. The next part, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That part was man-made. That was what was going on in practice, not what was spoken of in Scripture. Man-made, hate your enemy. Scripture, love your neighbor. The second part, hate your enemy, it's easy. Man, we do that naturally. No one has to tell us to hate our enemy. No one has to coach us and convince us to not like a person that doesn't like us or thinks differently than us. Nobody has to teach us that part. The first part, you've heard it said, love your neighbor. Maybe. Maybe if they're good neighbors, if they keep their music down, unless it's the music I like, if they rake the leaves that are on my side of the property line, if they are kind and considerate, it's possible to love our neighbors when they're agreeable, when we like them, when we get along with them. Maybe if they don't agree with us, it's a little easier just not to love them. Hate your enemy, man-made. Love your neighbor, God commanded. God ordained, we're commanded to do that. Sadly, it's natural and easy for us as humans here in the flesh on this earth to act out. To act out like a kid against those that maybe we don't agree with. Maybe we don't like what they're doing, what they say. In fact, today, I highly encourage just turning the TVs off. Because lots of our news, lots of the information that's given to us today encourages disdain for others. In fact, I would say that it even recommends near hatred for those that are supposed to be the problem. I would argue that our news, our information that we're so bombarded with today is part of the problem, creating divide and hatred in our nation because everyone is pointing fingers like Adam and Eve. It's the blame game, the blame and shame game going way, way back when sin first entered the human race, telling us that they're the problem. Disdain and hatred for those. Jesus turned the world upside down with this radical message. He says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. In 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What a different message Jesus gave. He says, you've heard it said, these other things. This is what you've been doing in practice, hating enemies, loving people that are easy to love, but not really liking those that aren't. Hating your enemies, I tell you, a very different message, a message that turns the world and your heart upside down. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. It's crazy. It's virtually impossible. How can we possibly ever do that? Jesus, during the Sermon on the Mount, was calling out early before his life, the rest of his ministry, his death and his resurrection. Jesus was calling his army to be different than the rest of the world. Jesus was calling out his followers to be salt and light in the darkness. Earlier in this chapter, verse 16, one of my favorite verses, Jesus said, let your light, your life, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and bring glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus was telling you and I as his followers that we're going to be the salt and the light in the darkness. Jesus was calling us out to be different. It's easy to hate. It's easy to hate, to disagree with people, to disdain others that don't look like us or think like us or vote like us or even worship like us. It's easy for that. Why is that so easy? One word, pride. Why is it so easy to point the finger and blame others and hate your enemy? Pride. Pride is the root of all sin. So how is it possible to love your enemy and pray for those that persecute? How is that even humanly possible? I'm glad that you asked. Because really, that's the root of all of, really, it's the root of all of what we believe. It's all of who we are as children of the one true God. Jesus was asked this question: if you're going to sum up all the rules and regulations, what's the most important one? I love that question because I'm a simple guy. I like to just make things simple. And this person asked Jesus, make this all simple for me. And Jesus did. He said, the greatest of all the commands is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Think of it this way. Love God with all that you are. Everything. All of you. Love God with everything. And then the second command is like it. Love others. Love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. Love God first and foremost and love others. How is it that you and I could love our enemies and pray for those that persecute us? How is that humanly possible? It's not. It's only possible through the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I'm going to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. I love God's word. But I love these first four verses. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. To help us understand in our human minds how it is that we could possibly love those that hurt us. If then there is any encouragement in Christ. Now the Apostle Paul is writing this letter. Remember when Paul writes, he says things like, if there is. What he means is because there is. Think of it this way, because there is encouragement in Christ, because there is consolation of love, because there is fellowship with the Spirit, because of my affection and mercy, he says, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. How do we possibly love our enemies and pray for those that hurt us? Think less of yourself and think more of others. How do we love our enemies? Think less of ourselves and more of others. Put others' needs ahead of our own. Why is it so easy to hate people that don't look, think, and act like us? Because of pride. How do we show love to them? It's the absence of pride. It's putting their needs ahead of our own. How do we do that? That's a great question. Verse 45, the beginning of it, answers that. So that you may be children of your Father in heaven. The word so that could very much be translated because of. Think of it this way. Because you are children of your Father in heaven. How could we love those that hurt us and pray for those people that we don't even like, that are so mean and terrible? Because you are a child of God. That's how it's possible. How do we become a child of God? That's awesome. That's cool. That's the gospel. The good news of Jesus, the good news starts with the bad news, and the bad news is that all of us were born into sin with a sin nature, and we've all committed sin, one sin or a million sins. The penalty for our sin is death. And then Jesus comes. Jesus, perfectly born, lived a perfect life, completed God's perfection, did it all for us. went to the cross, spilled his blood. The penalty for sin is blood and death. And Jesus did it as the Lamb of God. They buried him in a tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and defeated sin and death and hell forever. And now, if we turn to and trust in Jesus, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is who he said he is and that God did what he did, then we will be saved. Simply by our faith, we receive God's grace. In so doing, John tells us that as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. How do we love those that hurt us? By being a child of God. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside us, all true believers, the only way to do it is Jesus inside us. The only way to do it is Jesus inside of us. Because you are children of your Father in heaven, for he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. People ask me, it's a great question, how come just my neighbor that's just a jerk, he is just terrible, does everything wrong, and everything he does just turns to gold. Everything, you know, here I'm trying to follow Jesus and eke out a living, and they're doing everything wrong, and it just seems like they are so blessed. How come the sun shines equally on them and me together? I'm trying to love God. He's obviously not. How come it rains there and here? Let's pray for some rain. We want the parade to go, but we hope that it rains on Ely and other places. The righteous and the unrighteous, how come? That's called common grace. Common grace. God does cause right now on this earth temporarily the sun to shine, the rain to fall on people that deserve it and don't deserve it. It's called common grace because God is good. Because God is good all the time. But let me tell you, those blessings are temporary. They are temporary and short-lived. Common grace. The next verses, 46 and 47, Jesus says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same thing? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same thing?" It's easy for us to love the lovable. It's easy. It's easy to love our neighbor that looks and acts and thinks like us. It's easy to love fellow whatever. It's easy for us to do that, but if we only love the lovable, do we look any different than the rest of the world? Even the tax collectors? Who wants to be like a tax collector? I think we can all agree unanimously, very united, that no one likes a tax collector. Can I get an amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my all-time favorite verses ever in all of Scripture, says some of the most amazing words that all of us need to know, just know it in our hearts. It says that if anyone that is in Christ, they're a new creation. That old sinful self is gone and that behold, there's a brand new creature. I love the term Jesus uses in John 3 when he says, born again. I love that. It so describes who we are in Christ. The old self is gone and dead and we're born again. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of the death of the old self and the burial and the raising up of a brand new creature in Christ. If we only love those that are easy to love, do we look any different than the rest of the world? Jesus said, I tell you a message that just turns everything upside down. Love your enemy and pray for those that persecute you. Be a blessing to everyone. Be a blessing always. Always be a blessing by choice. You and I need to live different than the rest of the world because of Jesus inside us. We need to be different. Claim that victory in Jesus over our old sinful ways. We need to be Jesus to a world that is lost in darkness and hungry for the truth. How do we do that? One way is by loving people that are very difficult to love. Being Jesus to them, to each other. My prayer all this week and will continue to be is that each of us make that tough choice in every situation we encounter. How do we respond? How do we act? Do we take their toy because they took ours? Or do we always be a blessing by choice? My prayer is that each of us stop and evaluate our hearts. Where are we at in our life? Do we look more like Jesus today than we did last week? My prayer is that we make the difficult decision to put others' needs as more important than our own. Story of Jim Elliot. I'm not going to take time this morning to go over the whole story. We'll do it sometime. It's an amazing story. Jim Elliot, way, way back, 1920s, he and some other missionaries went to Ecuador to minister to the Aka people, the Wayoganda, I think I'm pronouncing it, it's close to that. But Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and some other, they were killed by these people. They were going to take the gospel to. Killed. Five men. Amazing story. That's tragic and horrible and sad. What's amazing and miraculous is that a couple of years later, Jim Elliot's widow, Elizabeth Elliot, takes their son back to those same people. The people that caused her to be a widow, the people that killed her husband along with others. And she goes back to those people and she takes the love of Jesus to them. This time, they heard the message. Hundreds and hundreds of natives came to faith in Jesus because of Elizabeth Elliot's witness to them after they had murdered her husband. Doesn't make any sense. How is that even possible? Jesus, when he was on the cross, the scripture says that he was beaten to the point that he wasn't even recognizable as a human any longer. They mocked him. They spit on him. They cursed at Jesus and they wagged their head at him, just mocking and making fun of him. And Jesus's, some of his final words were, "Father, forgive them, because they don't have a clue what they're doing." If Elizabeth Elliot can forgive the people that killed her husband, if Jesus can seek forgiveness for those that have wronged and hurt and even killed him, then who are we to harbor hatred in our own hearts? My prayer is that all of us choose to be a blessing in every situation, and together you and I, the body of Christ, will turn the world upside down. We bring glory to God, and the darkness will flee at the presence of light as you and I be Jesus to each other and to this world that is in such a need. Together we turn the world upside down if we just simply be a blessing all the time. Father, thank you for your word and for this powerful charge to each of us to put our own selfish desires aside and listen to you and allow you to change us and make us new. And that begins with something as difficult as loving our enemies and praying for people that have hurt us. Lord, help each one of us to take time always to examine our hearts and see where we're at and choose to just simply bring glory to you by being a blessing everywhere. Oh Lord, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.